Hi, I'm Chris Bedford, Dorothy Wagner Wallace, Director of the Baltimore Museum of Art. Welcome to Art Matters, a monthly feature where we provide insights into the work of some of today's most creative artists from Baltimore and beyond. Joining me today is Katharina Grosser, a Berlin-based artist known for her hyper-colored paintings and installations. Katharina has transformed the largest gallery in the BMA's contemporary wing with 50,000 square feet of spray-painted fabric suspended from the ceiling that visitors can explore. Katharina, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, hi, Chris. Thanks for having me.
So the big fabric installations that you are known for, you've done one in Shanghai, you've done one in Sydney. This is, I think, the first such installation in the US and the first in the museum. So what has the experience been like for you thus far?
Oh, it's very different from the installation in Sydney and Shanghai. Sydney was the Carriage Works, which is a big theater. So there's no context of visual arts that you're in, but you're in the context of performance and theatricality, which was very, very interesting for me. And also the building itself has no exhibition space, but it has a huge entry lobby kind of space that is coming from the end of the 19th century. So there were iron cast columns that were part of the piece that were sewn into the fabric. And Shanghai was, the exhibition space was in K11, which is a big shopping mall, and it's the basement. So I had the whole basement, and on top of that were stacked like 60 other floor levels of a shopping center. And that was also very, very different. So here I'm kind of placed into a very rich and interesting collection. You step outside the work and go into the Matisse rooms, or you can go a little further down and you see a Corot, or, you know, I mean, that is an amazing context where your work is seen very differently. People will respond to it very differently. And also when you go to a museum, you go because you want to see things that are on the visual level and that you don't pop into by chance or by maybe surprise.
So on one hand, you're in a very cloistered contemporary environment with this installation. On the other, you're very proximal to a history of European painting. So that juxtaposition is very deliberate on our part. We love the idea that you can see the art of the past through the lens of the present, and it's particularly compelling for me to see you in conversation with Matisse and Corot. So, you know, as a European painter yourself, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, I think this is a little bit like stacking lenses on top of lenses. So you can look through kaleidoscopic looking glass, and even from the days of the mosaic, you know, that you have around the courtyard there so beautifully exhibited, you can look at from there to our days. And I think it all stacks up into a cluster. My understanding of art history is not one of historians that is maybe a linear or logic in the sense that one innovation or progress leads to the next. I think that it is a fascinating experience to have a tool such a paintbrush and color, and that maybe as well had the painter who painted the Lascaux caves, you know. So there is something uncanny about it, that I use a tool that is so old.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's very deeply resonant in an encyclopedic museum where old and new is very equivalent in the view of our curators and in the view of the museum's administration. So I think one way that we can participate in a contemporary discourse at the museum is precisely by inserting the past and making it present. Not distant or sequential, but ever-present.
I think that is such a great way to look at it. It's about actualization of the necessities that we have in our world, that have always been in the world, but we have to find the appropriate forms for our times. I think there is such a great way to talk about it in Maori culture in New Zealand. They say we move into the future with our back, looking at the past. So we don't see the future with our back, but we see the past while we go into the future. And I think that's a great way to kind of turn it around.
That's a very beautiful way to think about an encyclopedic museum, too. So you're taking up a lot of space at the museum in the best possible way. So you have a big installation, but you also have a group of paintings that survey roughly the last 10, 12 years of your work on canvas. So what is the relationship between these enormous painted installations and the more circumscribed canvas-based work?
Oh, there is a lot of differences. I think what I really wonder, and I wonder every day, how could a painting appear in our lives, in our everyday lives? And I think there are many ways that a painting can have a form. So I think the canvas that I use in my studio allows me to come back to a painting over the course of a longer period. The painted canvas is a smaller surface, as you say, so clearly the one that I made here in situ in the museum is really, really large. And also the subject matter of the work is size and scale and what it does to you emotionally and psychologically. Whereas the canvas in the studio is a smaller container, and I can, because I can work on it so much longer, stack a lot of different surfaces on top of one another. So I can make it a really dense time cluster in itself as well, not unsimilar to the idea of the larger picture of art history. The history of a painting as well is so fascinating, because you can look at it in one moment, but you look at something that has taken place over the course of maybe 3 months, but you see that 3 months kind of crammed and condensed into like the view of a second. And also in the studio, I have a lot of paintings I work on at the same time. I don't have to focus on one project like I do in the museum, but I can pull out of a group of 30 paintings one and put it aside and go on with the next group, and the whole group evolves as one thought. And I have also other projects in the studio that I work on. So there's always young projects, some more advanced ones than the paintings in the studio. So there's a lot of different energies and thoughts coming together in studio work.
So when I see your work, whether it's an art fair, another museum, a gallery, or a museum in this country, they're immediately recognizable as yours. The gesture is yours, and whether it's a very large installation or a canvas. But I would say one distinguishing feature is your command of palette and your very specific taste in color. So could you speak a little bit about what color means to you, those incredibly vibrant, effervescent materials you use?
Yeah, I think color is an amazing material in many ways. For example, the way that I use it, I use all the colors at the same time, in a sense, so that they are even twisted together as a thread of energy that attracts you and that kind of gets your attention before you know that you want to make a decision. Do I want to look at it? You're already looking at it. So you're kind of taken over by the painting, and you don't have a lot of possibilities to debate whether you do want to see it or whether you don't want to see it. And I think that's a little bit like falling in love. All debate kind of goes away. You don't really know whether the person has the right trousers on or not, but you love that person. So that doesn't matter whether it's the right color or the wrong color, you know. So this kind of disarming connection with a thought of another person, I find absolutely interesting.
Which relates very directly to the title of the show, which is called Is It You? So how did you land on that title? What does that mean?
Oh, I wanted to do something very simple. And so you encounter a strange phenomenon like that painting that you could enter and walk through. And maybe that is even changing who you are, or you are as strange to the painting as the painting is to you. So this reciprocal wonder of, is it really me who is now in here? You know, that kind of thing I find charming. And also there's more thought to it than you might think at the beginning.
And so when viewers walk into this enormous painted environment, towering as it is, hyper-colorful as it is, what is your hope for their experience? What is your hope for their interaction with that object?
Well, you're going to meet a huge like bag or lump of fabric that's pulled up under the ceiling, and that looks like a little bit like a tent upside down. Large folds, lush knots. You have three cuts in that big bag, and you can go through those. You will enter a very, very colorful, vibrant, even a little complicated painting, and you can walk on it, you can walk through it, you can go out of it again through another little cut that we made into the fabric.
You could sit on it, you can lay down, you can linger for as long as you like, you could use your computer in that space, you could text in that space. It's for you.
You could meet in the space. You could have a conversation in the space. It's a very beautiful acoustics in there. You can walk around it. You can find little pockets when you walk around it that are even hidden in the folds. I think there are pockets that only can be visited by children because they have to be very curious and very interested.
And very small.
And very small. And maybe you can hide. You can talk when you're outside to the people that are inside through the fabric. So I think it is something to explore, and you need your total body intelligence to kind of get it. You don't need to read a text before you go in there, but you need to be alert, present in the moment, and curious. And there's no one right vantage point where you see the whole thing. So you have to walk through it and kind of gather all these different ways to look at it and piece them together in your memory. And you will have an experience of an ever-changing impression from where you are within the work. And maybe you will get the experience that you have to change according to these different perspectives, and that being able to change so fast your perspective, and that will then change again how you think about the work. That could be a strategy that is highly useful in our society, I think, because it would mean that you would have constantly different points of view on the same subject matter, and you would not label and box situations or groups or people or professions or belief systems so easily, and therefore you would be far more flexible and fluid in your relationships.
One very influential painting critic once said to me that he thought the general public didn't know where to begin and end with a painting, particularly an abstract painting, how long to look, where to look from, and what to think while you're in the act of looking. So I always think about that condition in the context of your installations, because actually all of that evaporates. You walk into the space, you're propelled through it, your body is of it. The act of walking determines the duration of the engagement, how long you decide to linger and where to look. It's a very different interaction. So I think it gets around that problem of where do you begin and end, because you're with it and it's you. Is that your intention, to make the engagement with painting different and maybe even easier?
Yeah, it certainly makes it different and easier. I'm not sure, but the access maybe is easier because you can behave in it as you behave maybe in a garden or in a house or wherever you are, because you go enter a supermarket and you look for a certain product, and you also have to go through and look. And you have actually an enormous ability and knowledge to navigate unknown spaces. And if you would try that out in the installation, I think you could go quite far with understanding what you're seeing. There is a trick somehow in it as well, or a little trick question, because you move in it and you think it is as if you're moving through your living room, but then ultimately it's not. It's a painted surface with an uneven floor, so you go a little bit up and down. It's not like in a normal gallery, and you're surrounded by these very artificial colors that are anything else but your normal environment. And that flips. So on the one hand, it's like the most everyday experience. And on the other hand, you're in a bag of a painting, let's say, and it's muffling. The sound is very much like here in this recording studio, you know. And it's thousands of folds being crammed together in the space. And it's nothing like your living room. And this is kind of flipping back and forth. So I think that is, if you walked out of there, and then you would start to experience reality exactly like that, just the other way around, I think that would be an enormous enhancement for our joy and experience outdoors. So all of a sudden, a normal street wouldn't be just a normal street. You know, it could be that kind of amazing, imaginative surface.
Thank you so much for taking time with me to chat about your work today. I enjoyed it immensely.
Thanks, Chris, for having me.
You can see Katerina Grosser, Is It You? Paintings and Installation at the BMA through June 28th, 2020. And the installation will be on view again from August 16th through January 3rd of 2021. Thank you for listening today. Art Matters is produced for WYPR by the Baltimore Museum of Art. And for the Baltimore Museum of Art, I'm Chris Bedford.